There we go.
We're recording now.
Thank you, Angela. Good morning, everybody. This is Robert Lucero. I'm the Development Hearing Officer for the City of Albuquerque. I hereby call to order the January 8th, 2025 hearing of the DHO at 9:02 a.m. This is a remote or online hearing where all participants will be on a video or audio conference. We are conducting this hearing remotely so that everyone can participate. Please keep your audio on mute and your video off when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we are recording only the audio of this hearing and not the video. Because it is audio only, it will be important that you give your name each time before beginning your remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item is currently being heard. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also let you ask questions of the moderators, who are Jay Rodenbeck and Robert Webb. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record, and as such, they're subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relevant to the hearing. One note for the applicants regarding platting applications. Any plats that are approved today will be electronically signed following the hearing. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck routes those documents through the DFT team members once the applicant has submitted a final PDF that includes all of the utility signatures. Then the applicants will receive an emailed copy of the signed document. If the plat is approved with conditions, you will need to complete all the conditions with the appropriate DFT members and then send the PDFs to Mr. Rodenbeck for electronic signatures. The city engineer is the final person to sign a plat. Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, would you please alert us to any changes in the agenda?
Yes, good morning. I do have one announcement, and that's for item number one, PR 2020-003484, application SD 2024-00158 for extension of preliminary plat. The agent has requested a deferral to January 22nd.
Thank you, Ms. Gomez. Having received the request for deferral on agenda item one and having received no objection, I hereby defer agenda item one, that's PR 2020-003484, SD 2024-00158. It's a request for extension of preliminary plat, and it is deferred to the January 22nd, 2025 DHO hearing beginning at 9 a.m. Ms. Gomez, any other ch changes to the agenda?
No, that's all I have this morning.
Thank you very much. So again, agenda item one is deferred to January 22nd, 2025. The rest of the agenda items will be heard in succession today. Now that we have the agenda set for today, I would request that any member of the public who would like to speak on a particular item, please let us know when that agenda item is called. When we get to the case time for public comment, if you're on Zoom, please use the raise your hand feature, which can be found at the bottom toolbar under the React tab. Or if you're on video, you can just literally raise your hand like I'm doing right now. If you're on audio, that meaning you've called in on the phone, you may press star 9 to raise your hand to be heard. Again, it's star 9 on the phone. If any participant causes a disruption, the participant will be removed from the hearing. If there are any technical issues, we will end the hearing and the DHO hearing will resume at 1 p.m. today using the same Zoom link and phone number. As we begin, I'll read a brief statement regarding the purpose of the Development Hearing Officer, the DHO. The DHO was created in 2022 by amendment to the Integrated Development Ordinance. The DHO and DFT staff members apply the standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. With that, and with agenda item one having been deferred, we'll begin with agenda item two. Agenda item two is PR 2023-008674, SD 2024-00163. That's a request for final plat submitted by Tierra West LLC as agent for Butterfly Holdings LLC, which requests the aforementioned actions for all or a portion of the northeast corner of Tract 310, the northerly portions of TS 308, 309, and 310 tract comprising portions of Tract 310, Unit 8, Atrisco Grant, zoned MXT, located at 5720 Miami Road Northwest, containing approximately 5.4683 acres. Do we have a representative of the applicant team here this morning?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, Ron Bohannon with Tierra West.
Thank you, Mr. Bohannon. Would you please raise your right hand and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
This is Ron Bohannon, 5571 Midway Park Place. I do swear to affirm.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir, if you'd please present the application.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officers, members of the DFT. This is a request for final plat on a project at Miami and the Coors Road Trail. We had submitted this plat with a sound study, and we've been working through that sound study. It was submitted on Monday, I believe, to Mr. Shahab. And we're ready to answer any questions on it. We were not able, we did get Jay Rodenbeck's comments on the plat. Those will need to be conditions of the plat if you so choose to move forward with the final recommendation of that plat. We weren't able to get those in time to get them back. The DXF file has been submitted to the city for that as well. And with that, we're ready to answer any questions of staff, Mr. Hearing Officer, and yourself.
Thank you, sir. Very good. Before we go to the DFT staff, let's see if there's any members of the public who'd like to address this item. Again, this is agenda item two. If you're in attendance and would like to provide public comment on that item, please raise your hand.
Mr. Hearing Officer, to Ron Bohannon, one more thing. John Niskey with my office is in the audience, as well as Brian Aragon and Jared Liker with Butterfly Holdings as well, for any comments. So.
Oh, thank you. Very good. Very good. Let's see. I'm scrolling through the participant list, and I don't see anyone indicating they'd like to provide public comment. Again, please raise your hand if you'd like to comment on agenda item two. Last call for public comment on agenda item two. Okay, and Mr. Bohannon, it doesn't appear that there's any public comment, so we'll proceed to the DFT specialty members for their comments, beginning with the Water Authority. Mr. David Gutierrez, are you there, sir?
I am.
Thank you, sir. Please raise your right hand and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I have no objections. Good on my end. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up would be code enforcement. Mr. Jeff Palmer, are you there, sir?
Yes, this is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement.
Thank you, sir. Please raise your right hand and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I prepared some comments in order to address the concerns expressed in a letter from the SR Marmon Neighborhood Association, which was received on January 6th, 2025, regarding the requirement of a variance for the fence that has been approved and constructed under building permit GP 2024-327-23, which was issued on October 3rd, 2024. The citation of the IDO presented in the letter actually is not applicable to this property and would only address the requirements for a cottage wall on a property with an existing residential zone. So I just want to point that out first. I know that area of the code in the walls can be confusing, and they went to a drawing about that and referred to that. What could I believe there are two key sections of the IDO to be referenced in the determination by code enforcement to allow a fence permit to be issued for this project. That would be IDO section 57D, table 571, and the definition of the front yard as noted in IDO definitions, page 632. In my comments, I did provide screenshots of those sections for reference. And I'll refer to those in a moment. This property is in the MXT zone, and the minimum front yard setback is 5 feet. Therefore, as per the definition of a front yard, since there are currently no structures on the premise, the height limitations for a front yard wall are limited to the area within that 5 foot front yard setback. If you look at definition for front yard, quoting from that definition, it says if there is no primary building on the lot, which is the case here, the part of the lot within the minimum setback in the zone district on the side of the lot where the property line will be addressed. So that's the definition of front yard if there's no structure on the lot, and which would fit this case. Now, as per IDO Table 571, the 3 foot limitation of the height of the wall is within the front or street side yard. So the walls in other locations on the yard are allowed up to 8 feet in height as per the wall submitted for the permit. Again, in referencing my snapshot of the IDO Section 57D, Table 571, it cites those, as you are likely familiar with. And also, in regards to that, keep in mind from what I cited earlier of the MXT, the minimum front yard setback being 5 feet. The walls that faces along Miami definitely was is it would just have to be required to be a minimum of 5 feet back from the property line in order to meet the code to be able to go up to the 8 foot height without requiring a variance. I went out there this morning, did a site visit to confirm, and it clearly is within that 5 foot or greater distance from the property line as per markers on the site and the wall. There's not much else that's been built there yet, but there was a clear marker and of the corner of the property, and I was able to measure from that to the wall, and it's right at the 5 feet there. There's a barbed wire fence also that goes along, which you would assume is along the property line. That is an assumption, but that measures about closer to 7 feet from the wall. So I think it clearly falls within that 5 foot. And we can ask for better clarification from him and would like to confirmation from the applicant. That was our determination and reasoning behind allowing that wall to be built as it was. And that's all the comments I have on that and no objections to this application.
This is Robert Lucero. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. I do see that we have Ms. Ward, it appears, from the Neighborhood Association with a hand raised. Are you there? Ms. Ward? Looks like you're on mute there. Let's see if we can get Ms. Ward. To figure out this technical difficulty, apparently can't hear her. She looks like she's on mute. In the interim, Mr. Bohannon, would you or someone on your team like to respond to Mr. Palmer's comments?
So, Mr. Hearing Officer, thank you. So, yes, the wall permits were built with a permit issued by the City of Albuquerque, and to the best of our knowledge, meet all of the IDO requirements. The temporary fence out there is a construction fence, and I can have Mr. Aragon with Butterfield Holdings, if you need to have that in written or read into the record, he can unmute, swear in, and comment to that as well. But to our knowledge, we are in compliance with IDO and appreciate the thorough response by Mr. Palmer.
Thank you, Mr. Bohannon. This is Robert Lucero. Yes, why don't we go ahead and get Mr. Aragon's testimony just to avoid any doubt. Mr. Aragon, are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Thank you, sir. Would you please state your full name and mailing address for the record?
Yes, sir. Brian Aragon. I am at 409 New Mexico Highway 528, Rio Rancho, New Mexico 87124. I am with Butterfly Holdings.
Thank you, sir. Please raise your right hand and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead. Would you please confirm the location of the wall that was built pursuant to the city-issued permit?
Mr. Hearing Officer, the wall has been constructed per the building permit that was issued. The temporary fence or barbed wire fence that they were referring to was an old existing fence out on the site. And I do have a picture of that if you would like to verify or see that, that I can show the hearing officer.
Yeah, is that something that you could share on screen?
I can.
That'd be great. Could we enable that, please, Ms. Gomez? Excuse me.
I'm sorry, would you repeat that, Mr. Hearing Officer?
Oh, could you enable Mr. Aragon's sharing capability? Is he allowed to share?
This is Jay Robeck. He's a co-host. He can share his screen.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Aragon.
Let me see. Mr. Webb, could you please stop sharing so that I can share? Thank you. Now I should be able to get there. Share screen. To share this photo. Here, share. Okay, I should be sharing at this point in time. As you can see, the wall has been constructed. This is taken. I'm looking south from Miami. This is the wall that has been constructed on the permit. The existing barbed wire fence that was on the site is to be removed and cleaned up.
Thank you. And the and that fence is what am I looking for? It's at least 5 feet from the property line. Is that right?
That is correct, sir.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Palmer, this is Robert Lucero. Did you have any other comment or response to the applicants or the agents?
This is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. I do not at this time, although I'm welcome, or I would be happy to answer any questions that do come up in the course of it. If there is a need, I do have additional photos of the area that I can present as well.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Aragon, if you would please email the photo that you showed on screen to Ms. Gomez, we'd appreciate that so we can include that. And then yes, I see that we have a hand raised, 505-304-8167. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, can you hear me on the phone?
Yes, I can hear you. Would you please state your full name and mailing address for the record?
M. Ward, Post Office Box 7434, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87194.
Thank you. And are you speaking on behalf of a neighborhood association?
Yes, sir.
Oh, which association is that?
SR Marmon.
Thank you. And please raise your right hand. And do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
To the best of my knowledge. I don't think you can see me, though.
That's all right.
Yes, I raised my hand.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead. You got some comments?
Yeah. First is the acknowledgement that the specific cell block or cell within the table that I cited in the letter from our board of directors was incorrect. It should have been the one above that. That was too tired to write a letter error, but did it anyway. But I think it's actually stricter, the ones that applied, the 3 foot height limit on front and seat inside and street side yard wall is so. And the other thing is the applicable IDO for this project is actually 2022 instead of 2023. So the table is from the wrong IDO, but the information is the same because I had already verified that. With regard, like the concerns with thinking a variance needed to be obtained is because that was stated by planning and you, Mr. Lucero, at the hearing back in May. And that was a condition of approval. And so it hadn't been met. And now we're finding the city or someone has decided that, oh, you don't need it because there's not actually a house or a structure there. And that the 5 foot setback applies. And it is definitely greater than 5 feet. Yeah, there's no issue with that. The concern with the one of the concerns with the wall is that then if a house is built, depending on where the structure is, the property owner of lot 4 will be left with a wall that does not comply with the ordinance. So that's one issue with the wall. Another is that the purpose of this higher wall, the 8-foot wall, was to for sound mitigation, and going by the conditions of approval, the broken face or the split face, I don't remember the exact terminology, but the uneven face that acts as a sound reflector, that is in place on Miami, the Miami section, which is built out to 8 feet high, 30 feet from the corner along the face of Miami. But there isn't any split face rock or brick or sound mitigating surface on the northern section of the wall that goes along the trail. Like the photo that you have there on the screen, you can see the arm of the triangle, that northern section, that's all smooth. And I also sent photos in of that that show that it's smooth, and you can kind of compare. So that's not in compliance. The other part is that it doesn't step down, which is part of the requirement of a condition of approval, is on the Miami face. Like I also sent that photo in, and you can see it's a straight block of 8 feet high. It's about 30 feet. I didn't step it off, but I think, you know, whoever, Mr. the agents or the builders or the owners can say, yeah, it's 30 feet. But it hasn't stepped down. And so I don't know. Well, so technically it's not in compliance because there's no step down. And I don't know if that's because they're planning to step down and they just haven't finished yet, but some folks can address that. And I do want to emphasize, I think, the need for city vigilance on this project, partly because since they've started construction, there actually have been some issues that we've had to report to the city to be addressed. And I don't know that they're pertinent to this. They're not pertinent to the wall topic per se, but they're pertinent to how things have gone so far. So I'll stop my comment there.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. let's see. Should we go to Mr. Bohannon or Mr. Aragon? Would you like to respond to the public comment?
So let me start, and I'll have, this is Ron Bohannon, Mr. Hearing Officer. So let me start. So the wall permit was issued. The builder did not realize the conditions of approval, and we've been working with staff to bring that wall into compliance. And Mr. Aragon can go through and list exactly what what they're going to be doing to finish that wall off to be in compliance with the original approval. With that, I'll let Mr. Aragon go through and identify what additional items are going to be on the wall. And in retrospect, with the 3-foot high wall in front of Miami with the wall behind it, in discussing with zoning, based on where we were, that everything was still in compliance with the IDO as stated by Mr. Kilmer as well. So with that, I'll let Mr. Aragon talk about the aesthetics of the wall.
Thank you, Mr. Wayne. And this is Robert Lucero. Mr. Aragon, would you please address what Ms. Bohannon suggested?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hearing Officer. Again, we have met with the city staff, and I'd like to share my screen again. I've got multiple pictures I want to show, and just to show what we have been doing to make sure that we address staff comments and concerns. We have been working on various wall treatments. We met with city staff. We showed them a wall treatment. And this, first I'll show you, this is a close-up of the wall, what the wall treatment will look like. It looks very similar to a split face block wall. This is a post-construction application material that the wall builder has added. This is already a section out on the job site. And I can share some additional pictures. I'm going to go through all these. This is another one. Since I brought this picture up, as you can see, the steps, the way I understood the step requirement for the code was that the steps were required along the trail. And therefore, we have added along the trail side, and you can see the trail here in this image, steps up and down. We are going to add a cap on here, and the surface treatment has not been added in this section as well. So it'll all come together. One of the reasons we've held off on doing this area is prone to quite a bit of graffiti artists, and we don't want to have the city out there, you know, prior to the final acceptance, having to remove graffiti on this wall. The intent is to finish up the construction, get through some of the housing, and then we'll go back and put some treatment on. Let me continue here. This is another. So here's an example. This is a sample wall that our builder has built out there. You can see the smooth block right here on this left side of the image. We have a primer treatment in this middle section. And then over here on the right-hand side is the actual irregular surface treatment. And I showed you the zoomed in version of that treatment in the prior image. Now, in addition to that, we also have the cap, which gives it even a more differentiated look to apply with the trail requirements of the aesthetic look of the wall. This wall, like this piece right here where it's smooth, we'll add a 4-inch cap here to give it that. And then you'll have the differentiation color, you'll have the cap and the steps all together. And I think that's going to play into what this, here's a close-up of what the city is requiring of the project.
Thank you, Mr. Aragon. Excuse me. Let's see, I see 505-304-8167 with the hand raised. Are you there?
Yes, I just have a question. If the additional cap will add to height anywhere, that would then be in violation of the wall height. So just keeping that in mind.
Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead, Mr. Aragon.
Mr. Hearing Officer, the addition of the cap will not impact the height requirement of the city. We will fall within the compliance.
Thank you, sir. This is Robert Lucero. Mr. Palmer, is this sort of differentiated surface that's been shown on the screen to the satisfaction of the city in terms of the required finish?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. I'm going to let planning remark on that, since they have been the ones that have been working with them on that, in that capacity. However, I would like to comment that from my observation out there today, they are currently under the 8-foot height along that section, and the cap will get it right up about to the 8-foot height. So that's not going to be an issue. That I can confirm as well, as it is not going to exceed the height allowed through that. Any other comments on that? I guess I would refer over to planning at this point. I see no issues with what has been presented as far as in bringing it into full and even greater compliance than would be necessary for the appearance of the wall along that section.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer, for your confirmation on the height.
Okay, very good. This is Robert Lucero. I think having addressed the code enforcement comments, let's go ahead and proceed to the Parks and Recreation comments. Ms. Hannah Alec, are you there?
I am, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Thank you. And please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for clarification on the wall. That was my only comment. I just needed to clarify how you guys were going to proceed with the wall. My only question is, do you guys have an exhibit? Because I think we were waiting for some kind of a diagram or drawing to see, you know, which design features you're going to use along the wall. Is that possible for you to provide that?
This is Mr. Bohannon. Yes, we can take the photos and the final treatment and submit that to the planning staff and copy any other interested parties.
Okay, thank you. I have no further comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Alec and Mr. Bohannon. Excuse me. That takes us to hydrology. Mr. Tiquan Chen, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thank you, sir. Please raise your right hand, and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Tiquan Chen, hydrology. Hydrology has an approved gradient drainage plan with engineer stamp data for May 8th, 2024. Hydrology has no objection. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And up next is transportation. Mr. Ernest Aramijo, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please raise your right hand, and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Ernest Aramijo, transportation. We have no objection.
Thank you, sir. And next up is the planning comments. So who'll be delivering those today?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I will start. I imagine Ms. Wolfley will add some comments too, but I'll start our comments.
Thank you, Mr. Rodenbeck. Please raise your right hand. And do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
So, as Mr. Bohannon alluded to, they haven't submitted a supplemental submittal for the plat. So all of our existing comments that we had still exist, including, you know, adding project application numbers to the plat, HSDXF file approval, adding the DHO approval to the plat, providing documentation exhibits for the wall material and design addressing 5.7e of the IDO. They did screen share some of the designs, conceptual designs, but we'll need that submitted, and we'll need those. I'll jump. Ms. Wolfley can clarify this, but I believe we'll need formal elevations that are sealed and signed for those designs. And we'll need the condition for the label for a condition of approval from the preliminary plat. I'll screen share here just so I can make it a little bit more clear. I'm not being very clear here. We'll need to have the label on sheet 3 modified to include the exact language as depicted on the notice of decision for the preliminary plat. I believe we got this confirmed at the last hearing for this, but we'll need the that the wall drawing on the wall permit shows at least a 6-inch wide wall. And Mr. Bohannon or Mr. Aragon, I didn't make it down there like I was hoping to for another site visit. Have you added a ingress and egress to the trail through the wall?
Mr. Hearing Officer, Mr. Rodenbeck, we have the solid gate design has not been finalized at this point in time. We're still working on it. It'll be a solid pass-through gate that will meet the requirements of the city. The other thing I wanted to point out is that also at those gates, kind of in compliance with the trail, is that we're going to be adding pilasters at those locations so that it gives some definition to the wall in those locations as well. There are two proposed locations for the subdivision to access the existing trail.
Okay. And, you know, just make sure that that is shown depicted on the elevations for the for the wall material and design.
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Mr. Bohannon. Mr. Rodenbeck, we can. So, if I understood your comment, the wall design needs to be signed and sealed by a professional engineer, which would detail out those components, which is not necessarily shown on the plat. So, that would be a condition before the final signature on the plat by Mr. Beazar.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. It could possibly be conditioned. I think it's less than ideal to condition something like that. I defer to Miss Wolfley on her analysis of that. But it could possibly be conditioned. But like I said, typically, conditioning project and application numbers being added to the plat, HSDXF file approval, that's all pretty standard. Something like this is not as standard, and like I said, I think it'd be ideal to have those documents before, in my analysis, my opinion, it'd be ideal to have that documentation before a decision's made on this final plat. But that's where I stand on that. Ms. Wolfley, do you want to jump in?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, do you want to swear me in?
Yes, thank you. Jolene Wolfley, please raise your right hand and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So I just want to point out a couple of things. When Steph has tried to kind of keep an eye on this site with the wall needing to be constructed before the final plat is approved, and we noticed that the split face block had not been used along the trail. And so we met with the applicant team and Mr. Aragon, and that's when they came up with this other surface material. And in order to accommodate the change, the city engineer recommended that the applicant team do another noise study with the wall in place. And that's why they did a second noise study so that we could see that the decibel readings were below 65. So that whole effort was to help accommodate their mistake in not using the split face block and then switching to this material. So the noise readings did show below 65. Mr. Bohannon might want to comment on that at some point about the study. And if that is true, that's kind of what the city engineer directed, and it could even be improved once the wall surface has been applied. So in that meeting, we also talked about the need to build a wall that met the IDO per its adjacency to a trail. And I think Mr. Argonne has come up with some good solutions of using the little step-ups along the side that actually does quite a bit, capping the top of the entire wall, putting the pilasters where the gate will be. And I'm trying to remember the other one. But basically, I feel like the applicant team is trying to comply with all of these issues and getting the wall in place before the final approval is given. And given that progress and what they've done, I would feel comfortable adding these as conditions to the final plat and letting the final plat proceed. And then these conditions, giving the actual diagram for the wall, making sure that it is done according to what the trail needs and what the adjacency to a trail requirements are. And then the city engineer can sign the final plat once those diagrams are added as descriptives of what needs to be. In the meeting, we also discussed that they are concerned about graffiti on the wall. They want to apply that textured material later after construction. And so Ms. Phelan was in this meeting and she said that she does have a mechanism before the C of O to check the wall and make sure that texture material was applied. And so we wouldn't need to hold up the final plat for that particular step. And so I just kind of wanted to give you updates from that meeting that we held and let you know the progress that has been made.
Thank you, Ms. Wolfley. I agree with you that these items can be conditions of approval. I would request that staff provide some proposed language in that regard in the chat. Let's see, I see Ms. Ward with the hand raised. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. So we are very concerned with graffiti as well. Sometimes it kind of goes in spurts and it can be a real problem in that area, and then it's fine for a while and then we get another spurt of graffiti. So that I agree that that whole wall face is a potentially tempting target. And I'm wondering about vegetation between the trail and the wall. The city is responsible for the 2 feet in between the trail and the wall, the 2 feet adjacent to or abutting the actual asphalt trail. And then beyond that, I believe it's the responsibility of the property owner. But in other parts of the trail, there's a lot of vegetation, landscaping, that also is an additional barrier between the trail and the face of the wall. And would hope that Butterfly put in some sort of visually appealing, drought tolerant, low maintenance native vegetation that can act as an additional barrier. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Ward.
Mr. Hearing Officer, Mr. Bohannon.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Hearing Officer, let me address that. So the wall along the trail is actually on the property line. So there isn't any area. We'd have to do an encroachment agreement with the city of Albuquerque for that trail issue. There's no water out in that area, even though it's drought resistant. It's very problematic to put in landscaping in that area at this point in time, just for the record.
Thank you, sir. Let's go back to Mr. Rodenbeck. Did you have any further comments from planning?
No, just other than to figure out who's going to come up with these conditions for the wall. Ms. Wolfley, do you want me to try to do this or do you want to do this?
I think you've got it.
Okay.
While you're working on that, if I could, Mr. Hearing Officer, I want to bring in Hannah Olick. I believe she was also in that meeting, and I'm trying to look through the IDO. It does appear that there's a bit of a landscaping requirement along a wall adjacent to a trail. But I'm not 100% sure. So since that's parks territory, and it seemed like we did talk about, if I remember correctly, it seemed like we did talk about something there. But Ms. Olick, do you remember that discussion?
Yes, this is Hannah Olick. I think the vegetation was an option with the wall design. Is that the section you're referring to?
Oh, right. Okay.
It was an option.
I put that on my screen because this is Ms. Wolfley. Sometimes it's helpful to see what we're talking about in the IDO. So this is wall design for a wall over 3 feet facing a trail in this instance, and they have various options. And one is varying the wall height at intervals at least every 20 feet along the length of the wall. Option three, use a second and visually contrasting material for at least 20% of the surface, continuous overhang cap. And then five is a variety of living shrubs, trees, or vines on the wall. So is that where we talked about landscaping, Ms. Olick?
Correct.
Okay.
And I mean, it is an option, but however, I think we may need to speak with the city forester to see whether or not we could use native plants, drought tolerant plants, and put those on temporary irrigation for a year or two, and then cut the irrigation on that. However, I'm not sure if that's going to work or if there is a guarantee that the plants will thrive and survive. But we could definitely look into that if the applicant wants to try this option, even partially along the wall.
Thank you, Ms. Olick. This is Robert Lucero. Mr. Palmer, I see your ha hand raised. Are you there, sir?
Yes, Mr. Lucero, this is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. I would like to reiterate, as Ms. Olick mentioned, in that section, you can see that they only have to comply with, they're required to comply with at least one of the following options. So, as they are already looking at least one and efforts being made to actually incorporate a second one, which would be advantageous to the community. I don't think we can require that they put in any vegetation since they are meeting it through other optional requirements.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Wolfley, anything further on that or other matters?
No, I think we could maybe just encourage the applicant team. I know there's a wider, like, it seems like there's a wider distance between the trail and the wall right at the corner of Miami and the start of the trail where Miami hits the trail. And, sometimes some of the succulents can be put in there that are very drought tolerant. It could also be kind of a deterrence for anyone trying to hike up the wall or graffiti the wall. But anyhow, that might help if on the Miami side, but I think that would be their choice and not a requirement.
Thank you, Ms. Wolfley.
Mr. Hearing Officer, if I may.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Mr.
Brian Aragon with Butterfly Holdings. I'm in agreement with what Mr. Palmer has stated. We have basically complied with at least two of these options for design standards. We've put together the varying steps along the height of the wall, and then we're also adding the visual color contrast with the texture and the cap of the wall. One of the things that we will be doing, and I'll sh if I may, I'd like to share another picture, but just of the kind of the trail corridor that kind of shows what we will end up doing and what this area looks like. Kind of just showing where we're at with regard to the overall project. I'll share this picture. As you can see here, our wall, we do show the steps on it. We're going to eventually put the texture surface on it. We will grade this out so that we have adequate drainage along there, along the trail. We'll clean that up, and then we'll add a stabilizing and native seed along this area just to make sure that everything kind of gets back to normal. There's not a lot of vegetation in this area. It's basically native vegetation to New Mexico and this area. It's going to look really nice. This corridor is wide open. It has quite a bit of space. We will definitely take care of adding at least the native seed to at least facilitate the start of some vegetative growth.
Thank you, Mr. Aragon. I see in the chat that there are some proposed conditions of approval. Are we missing any conditions from any of the DFT staff members? Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for all of your input and comments. Is there anything further from the applicant, agents, or any of the DFT members?
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Mr. Bohannon. We have nothing further.
Thank you. Well, having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence in the file, I hereby approve Agenda Item 2, PR 2023-008674, SD 2024-00163, Because the application meets all the applicable requirements of the IDO, the DPM, and other adopted city regulations with the following conditions. The project and application numbers must be added to the plat. The HSDXF file approval must be submitted. The date of the DHO approval shall be recorded on the plat. Provide documentation and exhibits for the wall material and design addressing section 57E of the IDO that is sealed and signed by a design professional licensed in the state of New Mexico. Modify the label addressing condition C of the preliminary plat approval to reflect the exact language of that condition. This note must be added to sheet 4 of the plat as well. Provide documentation showing the solid gate design and its location in the wall to provide access to the trail from the neighborhood. That's the end of the conditions, and that concludes agenda item 2. Thank you, everybody.
Mr. Hearing Officer, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Thank you. Have a good day, everyone.